Even before we can all make sense of the Connecticut school shootings, families began the heartbreaking task of burying their young. Monday, two towns, two families, and 2 6-year-old boys, Jack and Noah. Eulogies that talked about beautiful energy, sparkles in a child's eye, the love of animals, and reading books. The funerals and wakes will continue today. It's almost too much to handle. WGBH Radio's Anne Mostu spoke with mental health advocates to gain their perspective.
Psychologists and counselors in Boston are feeling a mix of sympathy.
We're days away from holidays, and it's just incongruous. There's this cognitive dissonance about how can we be thinking about something joyous at the time that we've needed to face this.
And outrage.
The part of me that says, yes, there's disturbance. Yes, there's a problem there somewhere, of course. But then there's the issue of availability of guns and a culture that really worships violence.
The outrage is felt by Thomas Cottle, a clinical psychologist who also teaches at Boston University. He wants a larger discussion on gun control and mental health in this country.
There are parents who recognize that there's something really wrong with a child. They're not right. Will they say to themselves, to each other, there is something wrong and we have to protect this child, we have to get help for this child, or will they hide this child? Because they're embarrassed and they think the culture will say, you're the reason, you're the problem. For goodness sake, if there's something that you think is wrong with their mouth, you go to the dentist. If their arm, you go to the pediatrician, the orthopedic surgeon. Why would you not go to a mental health profession? And certainly go to your church.
This need for early identification of troubled children and adolescents and access to effective psychiatric treatment is also emphasized by Maria Trotzi, director of the Good Grief Program at Boston Medical Center. But, she says, it's important to realize that reasons for such violence are complicated and may never be totally understood.
It's normal to want to distance ourselves in any way possible from this horrific event. And so we try, it's just normative, to try to distance ourselves by saying, well, he must have been A or B or C. I have heard about a personality disorder. I've heard about Asperger's. We'll probably hear more labels before we're done with this. And I think that it's dangerous to do this for a variety of reasons. To consider that if you have Asperger's, you could be violent is just dangerous.
Mental health of the victims, their families, and families around the country is also at issue. Trotzi is first recommending families limit their exposure to media coverage, especially to children, and warns against projecting adult fears onto young children. In a crisis, she says, the danger is obvious, the opportunity is hidden. An opportunity, she says, to really discuss feelings in an age-appropriate way.
A parent told me this morning she dropped her child off at school in a local safe suburb of Boston, and she found she was paralyzed. She just didn't want to leave the parking lot. She just had this feeling of, can I actually leave her there today? And of course the answer is yes. Schools are safe. Many children and adults were very unsafe, but that's such a rare event that we want to be able to keep that perspective. As for the families that where children escaped and where adults escaped, and then, of course, the families where children or adults died. This is a very, very long process.
It's what Cottle calls vicarious trauma.
One of the things that parents have to look out for in themselves and certainly in their children is there some kind of vicarious trauma? Are kids feeling something as a result of hearing this fourth hand, that they get afraid, that they get anxious, that they become very vigilant, that their sleep is somehow affected, that their eating is somehow affected? So you watch your child to see, is everything normal in the sense of this is the way he or she typically acts? So that vicarious trauma is a piece of it. Having said that, what I would note is, what I worry about, is it possible that there's so much violence in this culture that children are exposed to, they become inured?
Both Cottle and Trotzi say they'll continue to encourage families to stand up against violence in their homes in the form of behavior, television programs, movies, and video games. They say even limited screen time can be considered an endorsement. Anne Mostu, WGBH, Boston Public Radio.
And you are listening to WGBH's Morning Edition. It's now 8:44.